information is at KPRZ.com. That's KPRZ.com.
Sponsored by CNC Window Cleaning and the San Diego Rescue Mission.
This is AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, where we dig down deep because it's a DDD. The title, Finding Yourself. Oops! Also, Meshuggah News early on this episode of the David Spoon Experience. It's called the Denial of Truth Edition. I will give you one hint. Seven of them, and they're not tall. Let's see if you can figure that out. Also, something out of nothing. That's always fascinating. And today's Facebook post, revolving around the world.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, 'tis true, it will be in the show. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Call us at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Every topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise,
national,
the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. After that guy goes away, you'll get a chance to hear SRN News. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Reactions to President Donald Trump's tax reform plan, which includes dramatic cuts in corporate and personal taxes, are coming in from both sides of the aisle. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
A joint statement has been released by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker Paul Ryan, and others. It reads, "The principles outlined by the Trump administration today will serve as critical guideposts for Congress." It goes on to say, "Getting tax rates down for American companies, big and small, will create new jobs and make the United States a more inviting place to do business." But a statement from the number two Democrat in the Senate, Richard Durbin, reads, "The plan would add dramatically to the national deficit to fund a massive tax giveaway to corporations and millionaires." Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Meanwhile, the conservative House Freedom Caucus has announced its support for a revised health care plan.
The group announced its support after negotiators added an amendment that gives states more power to opt out of a provision that prohibited insurers from charging more for enrollees with pre-existing conditions. Critics argued that provision triggered higher premiums for everyone. While the revised plan falls short of the group's call for a complete repeal of Obamacare, North Carolina's Mark Meadows says they're supporting it in order to honor their pledge to lower health care costs.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The senior U.S. Navy officer overseeing military operations in the Pacific says U.S. naval forces in the region are capable of defending themselves against any missiles North Korea may fire at them. Admiral Harry Harris, the top U.S. commander in the Pacific, says America is looking at a range of ways for dealing with North Korea.
As President Trump and Secretary Mattis have made clear, all options are on the table. We want to bring Kim Jong-un to his senses, not to his knees.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 21 points to 20,975. The NASDAQ flat, the S&P lower by one. This is SRN News.
NLS Bard gives patrons the freedom to read their way.
Bard is this beautiful web-based program for searching for books and for the ability to download them.
For more information, call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Even as adults, some people are still afraid to go into the attic.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Wednesday, April 26th.
We never went in the attic. It was a little bit scary. It was dark because we had to take a flashlight with us. It was hot, dirty. Just didn't want to deal with the junk that was up there.
As a young boy, I was absolutely terrified of going into the attic of our home. I was sure that some creature lurked in that creepy room upstairs. As adults, our fears can be different, but just as imposing. I have a corner of my mind that's like an attic. I'll bet you do too. We use it to store memories of failures, hurts, and critical words from others. It can be a scary place. But you know what? You and your mate can help each other face down those fears. When I was a child, I was downright courageous when I entered the attic with a friend. In the same way, your self-confidence will grow when you and your spouse deal with painful memories as a team. One final thought. Your mate needs you to be a supportive, patient friend. When he opens up about past hurts and failures, respond with unconditional love and acceptance. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I just had a flashback. You know, it's not deja vu. Deja vu has to do with the word repeating. It's not that. I just had like a flashback to the very first time somebody had asked me, you know, is it the David Spoon show? It's the David Spoon Experience. However, the very first broadcast we ever did before we did the Monday through Friday lineup, we did a Saturday show for 1 hour so that corporate can kind of listen to the, you know, how it would sound, which was a big mistake on their part. And we called it the David Spoon Show, and it was actually Heather Lloyd who worked the board on that one particular day. And I'll never forget, because what I did was my wife, this is like the only time my wife's been in the studio. How's that? Not on the actual show, just on the trial show. And Heather was in the production room, the master production room, or the big room with all the buttons.
Master control.
Yeah, the big room with all the buttons. And she gets up there, and it's like she goes 3, 2, 1, right? And the show comes on, and you know what I did? Now, she didn't know I was doing this on purpose, but I went like this. Hello? Is the mic working? Hello? Hello? And I kept hitting the mic, and she starts scattering. And I go, I'm just kidding.
Remember the other day you asked me, like, how different is it now than from the beginning of the show, doing the show? And I've become a lot more comfortable and stuff. I just, for a second, I want to play this for you. This is the very first time he did the show.
My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 120 minutes. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go.
I can't believe it's the same guy.
Wow, that does sound different. I sound younger. Wait, I was young. It's not that radio ages you. Age ages you. Time ages you. But that does sound a lot different, doesn't it? Sound a
so much more comfortable. I mean, obviously, that was the very first show. Meh. But now you come in and you got so much energy and you love what you do. And it's fun. Yeah. I love to see it.
Back then, it was a little stranger, I will say. But then we've done so many experiments. I mean, you know, we interviewed the Apostle Peter. We interviewed an angel. People don't know. We've done a lot of weird stuff.
The invisible ball giveaway?
Oh, that was fantastic. That's probably that was one of the highlights. Although I must say probably one of the biggest highlights of all was the busting of Captain Crunch. Actually not being a captain, since there was a Norwegian review on his uniform. Turned out he's not even at that near half level. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, folks, You're sitting here thinking, what are you guys talking about? Aren't you going to do your DDD? Yeah, relax. If I do my DDD in the next segment, you're going to turn off between now and then? Okay, I'll do my DDD in the next second. Do my DDDDD. And I'll do all my reads in the next second. Let me tell you something that's going on in my house. I haven't had a chance to talk about my insanities for a while. I think I'll break that streak right here. Right now, my wife and I are going through this wonderful experience. And after this, I've got something really cool to read. So this is all impromptu. My wife and I are going through the squeaker wars. You might want to write that down. Talk about that. The squeaker wars. Dave talks about the squeaker wars. And I know most of you are thinking, you know, Dave, you talk about your wife. She is like your best friend when you talk about her on the air. She's the love of your life. And she is. She's my best friend. She's the love of my life. I adore her. I would support her. Somebody actually asked me in my theology class that we were talking about marriage. And I said, you know, if my wife really felt like the Lord had impressed something upon her, or directed her in something, unless I got a real specific word from the Lord saying, ooh, I mean, I have enough confidence in her and in her relationship with the Lord where, you know, I go, okie doke. I mean, it's not if she feels like the Lord's teaching her something, that's part of that partnership. Unless I feel like it's a danger to our relationship, then, you know, I might step in. We have this wonderful relationship. And to that effect, we do cheap things. So cheap things turn out to be just as effective as expensive things. Somebody can buy somebody a ring, and that's cool. I mean, I have zero problem with that. And if I had $60 trillion, I would probably do something like that. But because I don't, most of the time I leave little notes all throughout the apartment on little pieces of paper and magic marker because that's about the level of my budget. Okay? So I take a note and I write it and I'll put it in the freezer and she'll open up the freezer and there'll be a note hanging there with a piece of scotch tape. That's not what you would expect. You got to be careful, though, when you do it in the microwave, because a lot of people put coffee or something in the microwave and don't look. I found that out. So, yeah. So you got to be careful about stuff like that. Anyway, we're in the middle of squeaker wars. Now, I haven't talked about stuff like this for a while, so just give me the room and bear with me. You're sitting there thinking, what is a squeaker war? Well, I have three adult children. My youngest child will be 30 years old in, what is this? This is April, May, June, in 8 weeks, 10 weeks, she'll be 30 years old. So, you know, we're a little older. But we do have a dog named Levi. And we, you know, now Levi was much more active. He's getting a little older, so he does less interesting things. But there is one thing that my wonderful wife does when she goes shopping is every time she goes shopping, she picks up one of those 49-cent squeak toys. You know what I'm talking about? They're just like, and they don't just go, meep, meep, meep. And they go, meep, meep. And she actually bought one that was a pig. And it's a bigger one. It's like the size of a coffee mug. And it squeals like it says like suey, like really loud. Go suey, suey. Anyway, so the dog will bite on it and we'll go, wow, that's super irritating. That's super, you know, because but he loves chewing on him and then he tries to get the little sound thing out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So about 4 weeks ago, this is after decades, right? 4 weeks ago, I decide, huh, that dog really did a lot of squeaking. That was really loud. He's got about 100 squeaky toys. Hey, you know what's a good idea? I'm going to lift up the couch cushion where my wife sits and reads her Bible. When I am gone, there's nobody there but her and the dog. And I'm not going to put one squeaky toy. Ho, 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 ho. No. I'm going to put 30 of them there. And then I'm going to cover it up very carefully and put the pillows against it so that when she sits on it, it will be like a horn from a school assembly. Well, that's what I did. I cannot read all of the text that she had sent me that day, but I can tell you the gist of the text. And that is, very funny, you will pay, right? So just leave it there. So then she's thinking, you know, she's going to get revenge on me, right? Now, I know revenge is coming because this is, you know, I'm bad at this. So you know what I do? Instead of putting it underneath the cushion, she has a pillow that leans against the couch that she uses for her lower back. So I put about 8 of them behind that pillow the next day. She didn't even think about it. She sits back, sweet. I mean, just this noise coming out of there like crazy. And then she writes another text I won't read you. So she gets all excited and plans to get me. This is why it's called the Squeaker Wars. And she gets all excited and plans to get me back. So now one day I come home. It was about 2.5 weeks ago. And I'm exhausted. Some days, unfortunately, I'll get up and then my brain starts going and I can't. I just, you know. So I'm exhausted. It's 4. Got up at like 4 something a.m. I get back to the house. It's about 5:50. And she's not saying a word. She's being real quiet. I'm not real suspicious yet because I'm too tired. Now watch what happens. I sit down on the couch on my side where my, because we have one of those like R-shaped or C-shaped couches. No noise. I don't even know what's going on. She's looking at me like something's wrong, right? And then she goes, well, why don't you sit back and relax? Right? And I'm like, what? What? And the squeakers don't go off at all. So she is, you know, a little frustrated. I will tell you the next day she tried to put the squeakers in my pillowcase, but that didn't work because I put my hand on my pillow getting into bed and caught it early. So we just let the squeaker wars go until this morning, which I haven't done anything for a while. I put a bunch of squeakers underneath the couch, under, you know, on the cushion of the couch and behind her pillow. And I caught her again. It's 3-0. So I say, called her on the phone and I said, how's it squeaking? And she goes, you know, I'm going to get you. I'm going to pay you back. And I said, okay, it's not a problem. I said, but I'll put an end to the squeaker wars if you want to. We'll be done with the squeaker wars. And you know what my wife said? Because she is forgiving and merciful. She said, oh, no. When you least expect it, the squeakers will come and get you. I'm just giving you insight into my life. That's the squeaker wars. Isn't that funny? You like that?
I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm not sure what she's going to do. I'm a little more afraid I'm going to get into the bed and there's going to be something less innocent than squeaker stuff. So now I have to watch it because I can just see myself sliding into bed and there's like butter on a, you know, on a towel or something. And then she would go, oh, how'd that get there? You know, so I'm on high alert just to let you know. Now, what does that got to do with Christianity? What does that have to do with life? It has a lot to do with life and a lot to do with Christianity. When you love one another, you play and have fun together. That's part of I'm just going to be like a child because that's how I'm going to enter the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to go with. It worked by Jesus' teachings. I think it'll work for me. When we get back, we're actually going to talk about finding yourself. But I did want to share with you the squeaker wars. Never forget. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
There's been controversy around artificial sweeteners for years, but now a new issue for you to worry about if you like diet sodas. Are they causing dementia? This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Science has pretty much debunked the claims that artificial sweeteners cause cancer, while the picture remains a little more hazy regarding sugar substitutes and weight loss. But now there's a new concern to add to the mix. Can diet sodas, which use artificial sweeteners, contribute to dementia and stroke risk? A new study just published in the journal Stroke suggests that there may be a link between the two. Researchers tracked the stroke risk for nearly 3,000 patients and the dementia risk for about 1,500 more. They discovered that those who drank artificially sweetened beverages were at greater risk of experiencing a stroke or getting diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease over a 10-year follow-up. In fact, those who drank one or more artificially sweetened beverages a day were nearly three times as likely to have a stroke than those who did not drink any. They were also nearly three times as likely to receive an Alzheimer's diagnosis. That link remained even after the researchers adjusted for other factors that might skew the relationship, like age, total calorie consumption, diet quality, physical activity, and smoking status. Interestingly, the researchers did not find any link between stroke or dementia and regular sodas. Well, if you see a lot of people rushing to get in on something, and they're all excited, don't you wonder, okay, what am I missing out on? In this case, it's thousands of people joining MediShare. Just one of the reasons. Think about this. MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. Honestly, this may be a game changer for you and your family. Find out more. Call 844-49-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment, by the way, brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasul. I had a chance to communicate with Sam today. Sam is one of those just cool business guy, cool guys. He likes doing business, and he likes them when business goes well. I mean, who doesn't? But he likes that there's a combo between ministry and business. So one of the things that we've done with Sam through the show is if you use Sam Rasul as your real estate person, whether you're buying or selling a house, he takes 25% of that commission, gross commission, gives it to whatever church or ministry you want. He just sent me a text this morning on a deal that he closed, sending thousands and thousands of dollars to an orphanage from somebody who, through the show, used Sam. And Sam always makes sure that he does it to the person's specifications, takes 25% of his gross commission, sends it, shows him the check. I mean, just the whole thing. It's just a great, great element. And Sam has really given away thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to San Diego ministries, San Diego charities, and the outlying charities of people's choices right around this area, which is like, that's fantastic. So if you're looking at real estate transactions, if you're thinking, that is cool, it is. It's like if you do a real estate transaction, you can do it with a relative. And there's nothing wrong if your relative is seasoned. That's Sam's big thing is, look, if you have somebody that's a relative and they know what they're doing, there's no issue. But if somebody just got their real estate license, they don't quite know how to do it, work with people. You know, you work with people who know. You want to have that experience behind it. So it's never a discouragement for you to use family. It's more of a just make sure everything's covered and, you know, double check. Nothing wrong with double check. And Sam's the kind of guy, he'll look at – from time to time, he looks at deals. He doesn't even charge you to look at it. Just say, hey, I just want to see what do you got going on. Make sure it's all, hey, what about this? Don't forget this. Because he's done enough transactions to know. So if you want to talk to somebody or if you want to have an idea of a real estate person who has integrity, great testimony, he does really have a great testimony, but is really genuinely into what he's doing and connects it to ministry, get in touch with Sam. You just you can either call him at 858-780-1-SAM. See, he did that. He got that phone just for the audience here. 858-780-1-SAM. It just makes it easy. His website, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. And what Tugboat Todd and I say, if you have somebody else that you want to kind of point in his direction, we say,
send him to Sam.
Just send him over there. That'll be fine. All right, let's get into our first DDD. It's called Finding Yourself. Oops. What do we got for a sound?
I didn't know who I was. So I went to the psychiatrist. He took a look at me right away. He said, this is not you. I said, this is not me. Then who is it? He said, I don't know it. I said, then what do I need you for? He said, to find out who you are. He said, together, we're going to look for the real you. I said, if I don't know who I am, how I know who to look for? And even if I find me, how I know if it's me? Besides, if I want to look for me, what do I need him? I can look myself. Or I can take my friends. We know where I was.
Hey, there's nothing like a great Jewish comedian. I'm sorry. See, if I need to find myself, what do I need you for? It's like, what a great line that is. And actually, further in the routine, he goes, and then when I find myself, I'm going to give him the bill because I wouldn't see you, but he would. That's great stuff. Anyway, Luke chapter 9, verse 21 and 22 says this. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. The Son of Man must suffer many things, and he must be rejected by the elders, chief priests, scribes, and he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Then Jesus said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Wow, this is so different than the world. It's incredible. First and foremost, for people to understand, Jesus is talking about the path he's going to take. He's going to suffer. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed. And then he's going to be raised up from the dead. Now, this is not news that the disciples were all going, whoopee. I mean, they were like going, what? You're the teacher we're following. What do you mean that they're going to crucify? What are you talking about? They're going to reject you? They're going to kill you? What? You know, it's like working for a corporation that's about to go bankrupt. You're like going, what? Why would I do that? You're going to die. This is not a good thing. So Jesus takes that moment and pivots. That's what we talk about when you talk about biblical hermeneutics. There's pivots. There's different points where, you know, he turns. And he turns at this particular point and pivots to go from what he's about to encounter to explain to the disciples the cost of discipleship. And look at what Jesus says. It's kind of one of those undeniables. He goes, look, if anybody's going to come after me, which means if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to walk the path that has the word Christ attached to it, there are three things he tells you got to do. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. First and foremost in being a disciple of Jesus Christ is that you don't come first. No escape. You can do 2 hours of radio on that one concept. We are not supposed to go first in line in our lives. A lot of the things that we do in our Christianity have to do with us first. I want to be first in line. Who wants to be first? Me. And Jesus is like, no, you're going to have to deny that. You're going to have to stop doing that. He doesn't just say you're going to have to stop getting in line first, be the first person. He takes it that next step. And folks, you have to listen to what Jesus is saying because it's what matters for us to follow him. He goes, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. There was no misunderstanding in the mind of Jesus Christ, who was in the territory he was, where people who did inappropriate things were guilty, and sometimes the innocent, but the majority were guilty people. They were on crosses being crucified all over those communities. And that cross represented death. That cross wasn't a 5-minute punishment. It's not a 2-year in jail stint. That was death. And Jesus specifically picks the term and says, you've got to take your cross and pick that cross up daily. You know, you can't actually pick up, in the physiological sense, you can't pick up a crucifixion daily. You know you can't do that, right? You can only be crucified once. But what Jesus is saying is every day that you wake up, you're not first. In fact, you're dead. Wow. And he said, that's what it takes to be my disciple. You got to deny yourself, you got to take up your cross daily, and you got to follow me, the path I took, the decisions I made, the way that I walked, the way that I ministered to people. Keep in mind that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was the master, but he served. He had one of his 12 people that absolutely despised him to the point of betraying him. Jesus still brought him into the fold, still taught him the gospel, still taught him about operating in the power of the Spirit. Judas was with one of all the 12 when they were doing all those miracles. It wasn't like Judas went and visited the zoo. It's like he was a part of that. And Jesus kept him in because that's the way he wanted to illustrate the walk. Deny self, pick up the cross daily, and follow the path that Jesus took. Then he closes it with this, which I wish somebody would really write a book about that would be helpful. If you really want to find yourself, die to yourself. Because those that save their lives are going to lose it, but those that lose their lives in Christ, they're going to find it. That is the way to find yourself, is to die in Christ. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da'ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
No one is too troubled or unclean to be touched by Jesus.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. Commuters on a Canadian Metro train witnessed a heart-moving conclusion to a tense moment. They watched as a 70-year-old woman gently reached out and offered her hand to a young man whose loud voice and disturbing words were scaring other passengers. The lady's kindness calmed the man, who sank to the floor of the train with tears in his eyes. He said, "Thanks, Grandma," stood up and walked away. The woman later admitted to being afraid, but she said, "I'm a mother, and he needed someone to touch." While better judgment might have given her a reason to keep her distance, she took a risk of love. Jesus understands such compassion. He didn't side with the fears of unnerved onlookers when a desperate man full of leprosy showed up begging to be healed. Neither was he helpless, as other religious leaders were, men who could have only condemned the man for bringing his leprosy into the village. Instead, Jesus reached out to someone who probably hadn't been touched by anyone for years and healed him. Thankfully for that man and for us, Jesus came to offer what no law could ever offer, the touch of his hand and heart. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Couple things to let you know as we get rolling into this next segment, our next DDD called Something Out of Nothing. Before we get there, let's recognize the Pastor's Masters Golf Tournament. You have the opportunity to have fellowship lunch, a special gift, awards, dessert, laughs. You know what? It's a great time to connect with other pastors, just to take a break, recognize you're going on a beautiful golf course with the whole intent is just to come ye apart and rest a while. And you might be a person that's like, man, I want to do that with my pastor. Check with your pastor. Make sure that they have that availability. The date is May 8th. It's May 8th. It's a Monday. And typically, a pastor will have some availability. I mean, a lot of them will take that as a time of rest. It's a good time of rest. Nothing intense for them to do. You know, it's fun. They don't have to coordinate anything. It's like it's the one time they get to just, you know, get love done, enjoy their time. We encourage you to go to kprz.com if you want to sponsor a pastor. But talk to your pastor and make sure that that time is available. And, you know, if you have and you're welcome to do it that way. Or if you're in ministry, you're a pastor and involved in pastoral staff that way, get onto kprz.com and get it because I know they're getting ready to close it. So that just means your time is shorter. Not just short, it's shorter, so keep that in mind. School tuitions, we've had some real blessings for folks in the last couple of weeks. Really cool. We've had people that are putting their kids into private Christian school that have not had that opportunity to do that before. I had a chance to talk to some principals today, and that's great because it's just exactly what it is. And when we were talking, I was talking to the principals, I was like, oh, well, you're going to get the full value, they're going to get the half price off, and da-da-da-da, and they were like, cool. I mean, they were just excited because you get to put extra kids into the classroom and the school gets a great benefit. The radio station gets a great benefit and the parents and kids get a great benefit. We encourage you to go to kprz.com and just click on that tuition tab. It's up at the top. It's like, I think, just to the right of the center, I think. Yeah, that should be correct. And the last thing I want to tell you along these lines, don't forget about Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Monday through Friday is 11 a.m. right here on K-Praise. Great guy. Okay, let's get ready for our next DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, called Something Out of Nothing. What do we got for music?
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me.
There you go. You couldn't miss, there's no way you can miss that, because when you say something out of nothing, you gotta use that song. It's just like almost like when Tugboat Todd and I sat down. The only time him and I actually consult together is just this one area when we talk about music, right? I mean, that's we don't really script anything else out. And then we just guess and throw it back at one another, and he picks what he wants, and I tell him what I think he should pick. Now, the problem is I have a big memory, so I remember a lot of songs. It gives him quite a lot to choose from. Here we go. Something out of nothing. Luke chapter 9, verse 12 through 16. It says this: as the day neared its end, the 12 came to Jesus and said, dismiss the crowd so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside for lodging and provisions. For we are in a desolate place here. But Jesus told them, you give them something to eat. I want to stop right there. I just think the way people perceive Jesus as speaking is like this super milquetoast, soft, dude. You know, hippie dude that's in sandals and has a peace sign and wears a shawl or something. I mean, especially people in this region, and especially with the words in the Greek and how Jesus said it. It's like when he didn't go, you, my children, you give them something to eat, perhaps, maybe. What do you think? I mean, that's not what Jesus did. He goes, you feed them. It's like, just like we would do. It's like, oh, you got to send these people out. You take care of it. Your vision, your burden. Anyway, so Jesus tells them, you do it. And then they start complaining. They go, well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people. And there were about 5,000 men. We've talked about this before. This is a provision miracle. It is the only provision miracle that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you are not familiar, there are, of course, the resurrection is in all four Gospels. But you, when you're looking for miracles, separated miracles, this is the only one, the feeding of the 5,000, the miraculous extension of the needs, meeting all of the needs of the people, the physical needs of the people. That is the only one that's in all four Gospels. I think people should take note of things like that. Anyway, they said, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now I have heard it said by people that I love and respect, well, that's just a lunch. Well, no, 5 loaves and 2 fish is a little more than a lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish is like, you know, a full day of eating. But it's not enough for 5,000 men, let alone women and children. So, I mean, there's just a lot of people, not a lot of food. I think everybody's, you know, picking up on that. The family meal deal, but that's about it. He told his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. I never thought about this before, but I do think it's funny that he said, sit down in groups of 50. If you think of 5,000, then 10% of that is 500, then 10% of that is 50. He's actually having them sit down in groups of 1% each. I just think that's funny. I think things like that are noteworthy. They did so, and everybody was seated, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus spoke a blessing and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. So in this one miracle that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only provisional miracle that's in all of the Gospels, Jesus demonstrates or gives us an example of how you approach what you have when it ain't enough. That's just, there's no other way to say that where you and I can get it, where it has the same application. There's not enough supply to meet the need. Okay? This is not the economics of the world. It's not socialism. It's not capitalism. It's not communism. It's not, you know, free trading society. It's none of that. There is a teeny, teeny, teeny bit of food and a whole bunch of people. That's what it is. And Jesus takes what he has, and the scripture says clearly, he takes what he has and looking up to heaven. It's the first thing he does. You take what you have because God is not just our source, but our resource. He's not just the supplier, but he's the continual supplier, the fulfiller. And so Jesus takes what he has and he looks to heaven. And the scripture says Jesus spoke a blessing. He didn't take what he had and say, gosh, God, Father, Father in heaven, this is not enough. How could you put me in a position where it's not enough? I need more. Jesus didn't say that. He took what he had, he looked to heaven, and he spoke a blessing. He was showing and demonstrating, certainly by example, and certainly by life, his appreciation for what he did have, not complaining about what he didn't have. Take that one and put that in every house in America. Let's just start there. He then broke what he had and shared it. He gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. Something really important that I don't know if I copied for, and if I did and talked about it, I apologize, but maybe it just came fresh, or maybe I'm just getting older. But in the process, Jesus was sharing what he had with the disciples, and the disciples were sharing what they were given with the people, and they all ate, is what the scripture says. Here's the key. The miracle was only realized in the sharing process. In other words, until Jesus gave some of it and shared it, there was going to never be a miracle. And when the disciples got it and they shared it, the miracle expanded and grew. But there's no miracle if it's not shared. Do you understand that? The sharing process creates the opportunity for the miracle to manifest. And that's how you look at it, and you get something out of nothing. The right attitude, the right direction of where you're looking, and the right approach by sharing it with others opens the power of God to manifest. Oh, by the way, that's true for you and your wallet as well. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus Christ told three of his disciples when God the Father covered them with a cloud and said, "This is my Son, whom I love." Just before that, those disciples had seen Jesus glow as bright as the sun. That didn't scare them, but the sound of God's voice did. It terrified them so much that they fell face down on the ground. But then Jesus touched them and said, "Don't be afraid." That's the same thing he does for everyone who surrenders their life to him. You see, we are all sinners. We all deserve God's wrath. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," because he took that wrath for us when he suffered and died on a cross 2,000 years ago. So when you ask him to forgive your sins, you no longer have to fear God or his wrath. In fact, you can begin a relationship with him and look forward to living with him forever in heaven. You can learn more at this website. It's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
If you ask a tennis professional who she wants to practice with, she will usually say, "Someone who's better than me." Why? Because competition makes us better. The English statesman Edmund Burke captured this truth when he said, "He that wrestles with us strengthens our nerves and sharpens our skill. Our antagonist is our helper." The Bible certainly agrees with that philosophy. The book of Proverbs talks about people making each other better as iron sharpens iron. If you meet someone who does something better than you, thank God for that person and see how you can learn from his skill and experience. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's teachers on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Missional drift. It happens when you set out to do one thing and end up doing quite another. This is Jim Garlow. And missional drift is exactly what's taking place in our culture today. We're becoming a culture of the acculturated. Unfortunately, even in the church. To be acculturated means complying with the culture in which we live. Ask yourself, are you in any way compromising or becoming attuned to the world's ways at the expense of God's ways? A lack of discernment, and certainly in many cases a lack of biblical literacy, is a huge problem. If we don't know what the Bible says, if we don't understand what God's ways really are, we end up drifting towards supporting our own opinions or the world's so-called tolerance. We need to get back to foundational, righteous issues and principles. If we don't, we'll just continue to drift, compromising God's truth and God's ways. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know this segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries, my good friend Steve Wheeler, who is somewhere in this on this planet, I assume. That's all I'm going to give you. I mean, I assume he's in some other country, unless the Lord decided to take him personally, like Enoch. I don't know. You don't even talk about those things. Just assume he's going to send me an email or give me a call next week. Here's the bottom line. Whitefields Ministries is taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. You hear me talk about it every day, and I'll keep talking about it every day, because the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the top of what we exist in until he comes. We occupy until he comes. Now, we believe he's coming back, and he's coming back soon. It's amazing, though, that 2 Peter talks about hastening the day of the Lord. I think the hastening part is for our aspect of it, of course, and not the Lord's. But we don't know who the very last person is, somewhere on the planet somewhere, who's going to say yes to Jesus, and that's going to crack open the eschatological code. The trumpet blows, and then all kinds of things happen. And it's like, well, does it happen this way, this way, this way? I don't know. Let's just find that last person, make sure they make a decision for Jesus Christ, and then we'll see. Then we can just kind of see it, because we'll never forget it when we see it, I'm sure. Here's the deal. That's one of the things Whitefields Ministries is doing, is taking the gospel to places that nobody goes. See, that's the idea. Taking the gospel where nobody is. Planting churches where there's never been a church planted, and then sharing Christ. That's what they do. And they support pastors, rural pastors of those areas who are planting those churches. They support them financially, educationally, spiritually. They just surround them. And so when we support them, we know we're supporting the gospel being taken out to all of the earth. That's what it's about. Whitefields.org is the website. You can always call Danielle, because she's the person that answers for Steve, 760-846-8610. That's 760-846-8610. But I encourage people to go to the website first, because I think it's cool when you get to know them through that website. You can meet with Steve. He'll have coffee with you. And most of the time, he buys the coffee. He's a big coffee guy. Loves coffee. This is incredible. And you can talk to him and just, you know, tell him what you see or what you're thinking, or, you know, tell him even your eschatological views, and he'll share his. And he's got a rich, rich educational background. Really fantastic. Whitefields.org is the place to visit. We encourage you to do it. We hope it's a blessing for you. Okay. I have in my hand our Facebook post, which I think we do have a sound for. Is that correct? What sound do we have for our Facebook post? Now, I'm going to be a little sneaky here. We played that. Now, typically when we play that song, you know, for most people, you know that typically I'm going to do a little thingy on repentance. Aha! Not today. I wanted to do that a little different, because what I'm talking about, it is a little tough, though, to hear. Comes out of Mark chapter 8, verse 33, says this, but turning around, see, turn and turn and turn, but turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's. Get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking of God's concerns, but man's. You know, well, you'll remember if you've recently gone through the Gospels, is this is not long after Jesus asked them, who do people say I am? And everybody's given a good answer. You know, you're this, you're this, you're the good humor man, you're this, you're this. And then Peter's like, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, Cephas, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All right, so, and then there's a question of whether it's Cephas or Petra. We'll get to that in another time, but here's what's happening. Peter makes a great statement, one that you and I hope to make. Keep in mind, this is the same Peter later on that denied Jesus, but before he did that denial, he gave that great confession of faith. Many people believe that it's that confession of faith on which the church is built, as opposed to an individual, which, of course, I think is much more in leaning with Scripture. But here's what happens. Peter does a super-duper good job. Now, look, when you do a good job, here's what you get. More than the golf clap. Right? You get a great job. When my kids do a great job, I tell them they do a great job. Okay, when they don't do a great job, I tell them that, too. So Peter does a great job. Unfortunately, after Peter does a great job, what happens to Peter? Peter gets a really big head. That's right. I know. I told Jesus what he is, what people think of him. Thank you very much. His hat popped right off his head. Bing! And you're thinking, why? Because his head swelled up so big because he just told Jesus what was like the best confession he could ever make. He gets a really big head. And then when Jesus tells him, I'm going to go forward and lay down my life, Peter pulls him aside, the Bible says, and rebukes Jesus. Do you know how far you have to go from, I make a great statement about Jesus? Good job, Peter. Oh, now let me correct you, Jesus, because you've made a glaring mistake. And obviously, since I just made such a good move on my part, it's my right to correct you. See? So it goes from Peter does super, Peter gets a big head, Peter rebukes Jesus, Peter gets blasted. That's what happened. And what Jesus says is lays it down pretty unmistakable. He says, look, you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's. And so the reason that we would call this, are we revolving around the world, is in satanic and worldly thinking, it revolves around humanity. But in Christian and Christ-like thinking, it revolves around God. So here it is. Is your thinking revolving around God and his kingdom, or is your thinking revolving around the worldly and the humanity issues? Would Jesus say to you, get behind me, you're not thinking about God's things, you're thinking about man's things? Or would he not say that to you? Let's hope we get our minds revolving around the right thing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then you'll hear Marty, then we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.